Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In real life, Bill Clinton asked Hillary Rodham to marry him 3 times. The first two times she said no. The third time she said yes. A new novel from author Curtis Sittenfeld explores what might have been if after Yale Law School, a young Hillary and Bill had ended their deep and passionate love affair for good. The novel is called Rodham, and it presents a fascinating alternative history, one where Bill Clinton, taken down by infidelities, never becomes president. And one where Hillary Rodham, senator from Illinois since 1992, enters the 2016 presidential race with an entirely different personal and professional life behind her. The world of the book is a different place after a McCain presidency and Donald Trump deciding that being president was too much of a pain in the tush to pursue. The novel is such an interesting mix of fact and fiction. Political junkies will recognize some of the pivotal moments in the Clintons' lives with a twist. For example, that iconic 60 Minutes interview with Bill and Hillary about their marriage. Well, in this book, it's Bill and a woman named Sarah Grace being grilled about the pain he caused in their marriage, and it doesn't go well. Curtis Sittenfeld is no stranger to tackling inner lives of women in the political spotlight. Her 2008 novel, American Wife, was a fictional take on the life of Laura Bush. And of course, you know her huge hit novel, Prep. Today is pub day for Rodham, and we are excited to be joined by author Curtis Sittenfeld. Curtis, welcome to All of It and happy pub day.
Thank you so much.
So what did you think, or what did you want to examine about Hillary through fiction that you don't think can be achieved through nonfiction?
Well, so I felt like this was an opportunity to explore not, what do the American people think of Hillary, but what does Hillary think of the American people? Hmm. And I had been, invited to write a short story in 2016 prior to the election by an editor at Esquire from Hillary's perspective. So that was sort of, the initial attraction or motive that made me start thinking about Hillary's perspective.
And I'm going to just use Hillary and Bill during the course of this interview so that we don't have to keep going back between Rodham and Clinton and the different times.
I know. I find, I feel like at times I almost want to say, Secretary Clinton. I want to sort of respect her, title and experience, but it's also literally confusing.
So why did you think the key question to investigate in the life of Hillary is whether or not she married Bill?
Well, I'm not sure that is the key question. I think it's a question. I think that, I'm sort of interested for all of us, we might make these small or large decisions, and they might have very lasting repercussions or not. We sort of only lead our one life unless we believe in reincarnation. And so it's hard to know, are there parallel existences for all of us or parallel universes? So, it didn't have to be that she didn't marry Bill. It could have been, something else. She could have gone into a different field or, attended Harvard Law School instead of Yale or whatever. But because she did, in fact, turn down his first two proposals in real life, it seemed weirdly realistic that was the kind of path to go down.
Oh, I'm gonna argue back because it's funny. I was reading this on the weekend and I was posting Facebook oh, this book is wild. Oh my gosh, there's something visceral about the two of them together. I think if you've written a novel about her going to Harvard instead of Yale, I wouldn't have gotten all the surprise faced emojis to my post. That's honestly.
Well, it's obviously, if you're married or, if you have a romantic partner over many decades, that's a very significant decision that you've made. And she has talked publicly about how it was, sort of the biggest decision that she ever made. So, setting aside Bill and Hillary specifically, it absolutely, is, in terms of affecting, your geography, your life circumstances. If you have children, it's like, you know, blending your genetic material potentially. Yeah, it's not, you're right that it's not like, did I go to this school or that school? It might be hard to compare to like the person you spend your life with.
My guess is Curtis Sittenfeld. The name of the book is Erotum. What kind of, I mean, in the back of the book, you list all the different sources of books that you read and rabbit holes that you went down. What was something that you learned that changed your way you thought about their marriage and that informed the way that you structured their interaction?
That's an interesting question. So I would say I was very influenced by the biography A Woman in Charge by Carl Bernstein and by Amy Chozick's book Chasing Hillary. Amy Chozick is a New York Times reporter who, you know, covered Hillary off and on for 10 years, including in the 2016 campaign. And I think that I feel like whenever I would read about Bill, the idea of his, or, you know, his personality, I've never met either one of them, by the way, in case there's any doubt that this is fiction, but his personality was sort of consistent with my impression, whereas, you know, Hillary, in private, like, supposedly she quite likes cocktails. You know, is supposed to be like a very loyal, thoughtful friend and like the kind of person who brings soup to someone who's in the hospital and whatnot. So I felt like some of my job was just like creating these sort of small, daily, personal moments and not making her seem like someone who only exists when she's giving a speech or holding a press conference.
In the novel, it's Bill that really says that they shouldn't continue on because he can't stay faithful. He says, you write, "You shouldn't marry me. You should leave me. I'll drag you down. The thing that's wrong with me is incurable." Why in this moment did you want it to be Bill Clinton who ends the relationship rather than Hillary kind of choosing to walk away?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, I think that somebody, like in some ways, I think the romantic dream is to be like, these are my bad qualities. Do you still love me? Like, do you promise to stay with me? Like, isn't that what we all want? But you know, in fact, he has publicly said that he essentially did say, you shouldn't marry me. You know, like, it's better for me than for you. And so, I mean, I feel like, again, they are real people. Like, my book is fictitious, but they are real people. And it's like, what are you supposed to do with, if someone says that to you and you feel like they're the love of your life, like, you know, do you stay? Do you go? I don't know.
My guest is Curtis Sittenfeld. The name of the new novel is Erotum. And in the book, you really portray how just physically attracted they are to each other, how they are drawn to each other. There's plenty of romance and sex in the book. Why did you want to go down that road particularly with their relationship?
Well, there's a few answers. I mean, one is, yes, the early part of the book is supposed to be about, you know, falling passionately in love and feeling like you've met your soulmate. And I think for a lot of people, sex or attraction or physical chemistry is part of that. I also feel like I'm, in general, a pretty detailed writer. And so it's like I show my characters brushing their teeth or, like, you know, eating a grapefruit or something. And so I sort of don't pull back then. And honestly, like, when I'm not writing about public figures, I think I write about sex the same way. So it's not supposed to be shocking. It's just supposed to give a really comprehensive view of what it's like to be this person and how it feels and how it's like exciting and sad and, you know, awkward. And there's just like many sort of ways that we all exist in the world and many moods that we all have.
I'm curious about in the writing process, how did you decide which of these iconic moments in their history to use and repurpose? I gave the 60 Minutes example. There are many of them in the book.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, my question to myself was like, how do I construct this in a way that's, you know, pretty realistic or plausibly realistic, but also entertaining. And so, you know, at different moments, I asked myself different questions. But one was, if the Clintons didn't get married, what historical events would literally be changed? And so, for example, the confirmation hearings of Clarence Thomas figure into the book, which they would not really, their marriage would not directly affect, or their absence of a marriage would not directly affect those confirmation hearings. But Bill Clinton's running for office in 1992 would likely be affected. So it was sort of thinking in a very literal way about the novel's premise, but then I also kind of chose certain moments that either I had always been aware of, like I'm 44, so I was in a senior in high school when Bill Clinton was elected, but maybe I revisited them, or maybe it's a moment that struck me one way 20 years ago and strikes me a different way now, whether it's about accusations of, you know, sexual harassment or, you know, some moment that was supposed to illustrate, like, you know, like, I'm trying to think of an example, but like something that was supposed to seem like a moment of like female weakness or, you know, hypocrisy or something that maybe it looks different now, like including, you know, there's Hillary's famous cookies comment.
But it comes at a different time in her career, which is so interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen when it happened really.
Yeah. But it is, I mean, I think that context is so much of of how we interpret, like, the words someone says or, you know, some moment that happens with politicians on stage where we might think, like, that's horrible, that's triumphant. And it's weird how the moment can stay the same, but our perception of it shifts based on all the other things going on in our culture.
There's a moment in the novel, I don't want to give too much away, so I'm trying to be a little bit vague, where Hillary is confronted by a woman who says that she was sexually assaulted by Bill and says, please don't say anything about him until he's running for Congress at that moment. How in this novel did you want to address, or did you plan to address, one of the biggest criticisms of Hillary Clinton is that she must have known about some of her husband's behaviors, and she was complicit in covering them up?
Well, I think that, you know, the reason I write novels is that they're very complex, and they allow for this ambiguity that a lot of times, you know, the law doesn't allow for, or even public discussions or nonfiction writing, like essay writing, doesn't allow for. And, you know, I think that any given person could have a few different views on accusations against Bill Clinton or against anyone, or, you know, that you have to kind of take them case by case. But I think that something in general I certainly was interested in exploring is, you know, what would it have been like if all this time we had looked at Hillary as herself and not as an extension of another person, or not as responsible or accountable for another person's behavior.
My guest is Curtis Sittenfeld. The name of her new novel is Rodham. So without giving too much away, what does Hillary Rodham, what's different about her than Hillary Clinton?
Well, I admire Hillary Clinton a lot, and I think that they have a lot of the same positive qualities. You know, like I think Rodham is a hard worker. She's smart. She's prepared. She's warm. She's a loyal friend. She has a good sense of humor. She's not saintly or perfect, and that was very deliberate on my part because I thought it would not be an interesting or realistic book if the main character was perfect. But I do think that Rodham, the character, is unencumbered with not all of the cultural baggage, but with a lot of the cultural baggage that has been foisted upon her in real life in the last 30 years.
I was also reminded, and I forgot how difficult Hillary Rodham's father was, and I think you really get at the impact that he had on her life. If you can remind people what her dad was like.
Well, it's important for me to say that actually, you know, many scenes in the book are fictionalized. In fact, to some extent, every scene in the entire book is fictionalized. But again, you know, I would refer listeners actually to probably that Carl Bernstein biography, A Woman in Charge.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, I mean, the story that's told frequently about her father is if she or her brothers left the toothpaste cap off, he would throw it out the window and have them go outside to retrieve it, you know, even potentially, I think it was snowing and she was barefoot. So, you know, it sounds like he also was a Republican, so I guess it depends on your own take on Republicans, how that factors into your impression of him. But
it was just, it was interesting. It just reminded me, and I felt like you really used it in a good way to show how she interacted with men going forward. Not to get too Freudian on it or anything. My guess is...
I think novels are probably like inherently a little Freudian. Most of them are. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we sometimes, again, we think that Hillary, you know, has always worn a pantsuit and, you know, mm-hmm. is this very public person. But she's someone, she has... You know, she was very close to her mother,
yes.
Who I think was like a really positive force in her life, and had these very close friendships from childhood on. And I wanted to show, like, I've always thought, if I were in some, you know, fancy situation and ended up sitting next to Hillary at like a dinner party, real Hillary, and she hadn't gone into politics, but she was like a CEO or she was a college president, I would think like, this woman is so smart and tough and impressive. And I feel like she would just be super interesting and enjoyable to talk to. Like, I like a, you know, professional, successful, interesting woman who's in her 60s or 70s, and that to me is who she is. Like, the sort of divisive figure whose like image is on t-shirts is just ridiculous and very reductive to me.
So I said, I don't want to give too much away about the end, but you do write about the 2016 presidential race. And was there something that you wanted to capture about that race that would have happened to Hillary Rodham or Hillary Clinton? It would have happened to this woman no matter what.
Well, so, you know, it is interesting to think about, you know, there's this kind of common refrain where people will say, I would love to vote for a woman for president, but not that woman. And it seemed like you could get away with saying that in 2016 if the only woman was Hillary. But then, you know, this time around, it was sort of like, well, you know, there's Kamala Harris, there's Amy Klobuchar, there's Elizabeth Warren, there's Kirsten Gillibrand. Like, you have some choices, and you still feel that you want to vote for a woman, but not any of these women. And so I think that there is this sort of, you know, systemic sexism that plays out in very particular and, you know, horrifying but colorful ways. And so I think sometimes I just wanted to like lay out scenes that were comparable to real things and kind of let them speak for themselves. Like, again, I don't think that a novel or one of my novels can be reduced to like a statement, like a thesis statement or a bumper sticker comment or something. But I do think that there are some of the ways that elections play out. Like, it's this whole kind of crazy system, and I don't think any one person is responsible. But some of what happens is a little bit bananas when you take a step back and analyze it.
Well, I will say the book in the best ways is bananas in part. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The name of it is Rodham. It's by Curtis Sittenfeld. Happy Pub Day, and thank you for joining us on all of it.
Thank you so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.